السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. For the purposes of contemplation and reflection on the beauty of the verses of the Noble Quran, I would like to start off with a recitation from the Noble Quran, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية؟ وجوه يومئذ خاشعة، عاملة ناصبة، تصلى نارا حامية، تسقى من عين آنية، ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع، لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع، وجوه يومئذ ناعمة، لسعيها راضية، في جنة عالية، لا تسمع فيها لاغية، فيها عين جارية، فيها سرر مرفوعة، وأكواب موضوعة، ونمارق مصفوفة، وزرابي مبثوثة، أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت، وإلى السماء كيف رفعت، وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت، وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت، فذكر إنما أنت مذكر، لست عليهم بمسيطر، إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر، إن إلينا إيابهم، ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلي وسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. I begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask him Jalla wa Az to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyam. To proceed in accordance with the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is reported to have said, "Man lam yashkur innas lam yashkur illah." The one who has not thanked the people has not thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I thank Sheikh Hussein Yee, his organization and the volunteers for bringing about this event by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal bless them with the very best in this world as well as the hereafter. Ameen. And then I go on to pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this gathering and make this gathering a gathering where the angels shroud us with their wings, the sakina, tranquility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon us, and may He azza wa jal make high mention of us in the seven heavens. Ameen. The topic that I chose for this evening is the art of contemplation. Now I'm sure most of us are familiar with the term contemplation, but we may be finding it difficult to place our finger precisely in regard to its definition. For if I were to loosely define contemplation, I would define it as long, hard thinking about something. Like say for example, if someone were to ask you to write a book about the universe, you would need a lot of contemplation in that regard to write a book about the universe or perhaps the purpose of life. Say you would need a lot of contemplation in this regard. But to define contemplation in a more broader sense, it can be defined as the art of touching the truth of something or understanding the truth of something by applying one's intuition, by applying one's mind to it. We say it's an art because it requires creativity as well as discipline. Some people think that, you know, when we say creativity, no, creativity is not something that can be incorporated within Islam. Creativity is taboo, perhaps. But Islam has or endorses creativity in a big way. Like say, for example, the Quran is a divine miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would say he was an extremely creative individual. Why? Because he was sent to a nation who were worshipping idols. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took them out of that and transformed them to become individuals, much better individuals, and he brought about this amazing society from scratch. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used very creative methods to get to that end result. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we too, in terms of this particular, the art of contemplation, we'll talk about it inshallah ta'ala, we need creativity as well as discipline. In terms of discipline, our religion Islam highlights so much about discipline. There are so many factors to talk about when we mention discipline. Say for example, minute things that at times, you know, we tend to look over. Why do you think the Imam, before every salah, what does the Imam do? Oh, before we go further, small, important piece of, what can I say, a reminder. Yeah? Yes, no, before that. I'm not the only one going to do the talking here. I want you all as well to engage, because I don't want anybody now, it's after work hours, you know, nodding and inshallah. Yeah? So I want you all to engage. So why do you think the Imam, or rather, what does the Imam, the brother answered the question, but what does the Imam do before every salah? Before tying takbiratul ihram, what does he do? There's an important announcement he makes. Straighten your rows, right? Sawu sufufakum. Straighten your rows, right? So, the Imam, before every salah, he highlights the fact that you must straighten your rows. Discipline, bringing about discipline. But you know what the irony about this? The Imam cries out before every salah, straighten your rows, you know, stand in alignment. But there, when you go outside, our slippers are all thrown all over the, you know, thrown all over the place. Our cars, when we come to the masjid, we park it, you know, all over, blocking people's driveways, you know, the neighbors' houses, etc. So at times you think, you know, well, what's the point of, you know, the Imam crying out, straighten your rows, whilst our lives are all, you know, in a mess. You understand? Islam highlights so much about discipline, bringing things into order. There are instances, even in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to plan out things, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of the expeditions, in terms of many other things. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to plan out things properly, in terms of cleanliness, in terms of planning, in terms of discipline. Islam highlights all of this. So, in the sense, when you talk about the art of contemplation, the art requires these two things, creativity as well as discipline. But now we need another three vital elements in terms of mastering the art of contemplation. To master the art of contemplation, we need three vital things. Okay? Number one, we need time. Number one, we need time. In other words, we need to take time off to contemplate, to ponder, to reflect. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is before the Nubuwwah. Before the Nubuwwah, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was married. He was a businessman, so obviously he must have been a very busy individual. But yet, he made time to do what? To chill. What did he do? He sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go and spend time in the cave of Hira. Doing what? This is before Nubuwwah. He was contemplating, and he took time off from his busy schedule to go contemplate. The story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the noble Quran. وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوْكَنِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we showed the kingdom of the heavens and the earth to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And I'm sure most of you might be familiar with the story. He looks at the moon, yeah? And he thinks, okay, the moon, perhaps the moon is my God. But then the moon vanishes, it fades away. And then he says, you know, it can't be my God. After all, how can something that vanishes away be the thing that created me? And then the sun. And then the sun goes away as well. The sun sets. And finally, he turns, inni wajjahtu he says, I turn my face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and I'm not from those who associate partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to contemplate Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. They all took time out to contemplate. So number one, we need what? We need to take time out, especially the time that we live in. Why? Because we live in such a materialistic era. We're all caught up in this rat race. We're all running behind what? Dunya. We're all hankering behind dunya. We just don't have time. In the sense, we do have time, but we're not willing to take time. We're not willing to take time off to contemplate, to ponder, to reflect. So number one, we need to take time out. Time is of the essence. It is extremely valuable. It is the most valuable commodity an individual has. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He promises upon time in different portions of the Quran. Wal asr, wal fajr, wal duha, wal layl, wal nahar. Wal asr, by time itself. Wal fajr, by the daybreak. Wal layli idha yagsha, by the night as it envelops. Wal nahari idha tajalla, by the day. Wal duha, by the forenoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises upon different portions of time to highlight what? Time is of the essence. Time is extremely valuable. So, we're not supposed to waste time, nor are we supposed to just while away. Instead, we're supposed to use the valuable time that we have to take time out from the valuable time that we have to ponder, to reflect, and to contemplate. So, number one, we need time. Number two, we need space. So, keep these things in mind because I will, inshallah, ask you about the list, right? So, number two, we need space. Space in the sense, we need space to contemplate. Not physical space, but you can take it in that sense as well. But we need space in our minds. Because you know, we need to declutter our minds. Our lives are full of so much of clutter. Our minds are full of so much of clutter. Our news feeds are full of so much of clutter. Our workspaces are at times full of so much of clutter that we find it difficult to think clearly. You know, now the whole minimalistic thing is in. I'm sure the designers in the crowd will relate to what I'm saying, right? Say, what do you think? The minimalistic approach, where in terms of design, you have this minimalistic look. In terms of your lifestyle, you go with a very minimalistic approach. Like say you're planning on printing out wedding cards. You know, in those days, you had all the gaudy designs everywhere, you know, with Masood, what do you think? You have all these gaudy designs, but now it's very simple, very clean. Basically a white card with a good choice of a font. That's the whole thing. But that makes life so much more easy. In the sense, simplify. It makes your life so much more easier. Likewise, in terms of our minds, in terms of everything around us, we need to declutter and make things simple and easy. The minute we do that, say for example, if you declutter your mind, you've got time now to think. Because at the time we use the valuable real estate in terms of space of, you know, in our minds and other things, you know, we bring in all these other thoughts. We waste the resources that we have whiling it away, thinking about so many other things and not having time to contemplate on the things that really do matter to us. So number two, we need space. This is of utmost importance. Finally, number three, we need concentration. We need concentration. Today, because of all the gadgets that we have around us, many of us suffer from what? Short attention spans. We find it very difficult to focus. Like say if the lecture is for about an hour, 15 minutes and the khalas, the brother is gone, the sister is gone. I mean like, you know, they're out now. Their mind is like wandering all over Malaysia, going to maybe, where are we now? Petaling Jaya, yeah? And go to Subang, go here, go there, thinking about all kinds of things. Short attention span. Like when they're studying something, or perhaps someone has come, maybe, you know, perhaps a scholar, or maybe you're even at school, you're at the university, someone important has come and trying to, you know, benefit from that individual. You find it difficult because of your short attention span. Concentration is important. So concentration is like a muscle. Just as how you go to the gym, perhaps you exercise and strengthen your muscles. Concentration is like a muscle. And you need to strengthen that particular muscle to be able to focus. We need to be able to focus. That's when we will be able to master this art of contemplation. I'm coming to where you can apply it. But for that, you need these three things. What are they? Time, space, concentration. You need to take time out. You need to have space. In the sense, you need to declutter your mind, declutter your head. Leave all the worries aside. Worries just kill you at times. You know, just keep all of that aside. You need space. and then you need concentration to apply the art of contemplation. Alright? You need concentration to apply the art of contemplation. Now, on what are you to contemplate on? What are the sources? Say for example, look around you. Look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's so much around us to contemplate, such as the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah azza wa jal say in the Noble Quran? The ayat in the surah I read at the beginning. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Do you all not see or look at the camel and how it was created? وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. And don't you all look at the heavens and see how it has been raised? وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. Don't you all see the mountains and how they've been placed so firmly? وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُتِحَتْ. Do you not look at the earth, how it has been spread so vastly? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are these questions? Rhetorical questions to open our minds, to make us contemplate, to make us ponder. قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَلْقِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Noble Quran. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, tell them, go, travel the earth and look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began the creation. We have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ponder, to contemplate and to reflect. So, look at the creation around you. Look at yourself. You are a living manifestation of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of the greatness of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at yourself. Look at your faculties. Look at your eyes, the tongue. Say for example, see I'm speaking English, you all understand. And there are so many languages prevalent on the face of this earth. So many languages. And at the blinking of an eye, I can switch a language. I mean the languages that I know to speak. Now I'm talking Arabic, I've switched the language. The ones in the audience who can understand Arabic will be able to understand me. I can talk a little bit of Urdu. Ashik, you understand Urdu? So, you know, we can converse, we switch languages, but don't you think it's a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are so many things happening whilst we switch languages. There are so many signals going to the brain, deciphering those languages, the proper words. You know, there's this storage of words. Our mind is playing with all of the words, taking the correct words, and then everything is coming out. Look at all of that happening. Look at our eyes. We look at things with so much of clarity. At times we take it for granted. You ask the cameraman in the crowd, they'll tell you that the experts with the cameras. I mean, to take a good picture, what you need a proper focus. Like say, for example, if I want to take the brother in front over here, I would have to focus. And mashallah, he'll come crisp and clean. But the rest, if I want, I can blur them. But say with in a very quick gesture, if I were to take the camera behind and try to take somebody at the back without allowing the camera to focus, even though we have modern day technology where we have laser autofocus and whatnot, which happens in a few seconds, but still I need to give the camera a little time to focus. If not, I would get a very blurred picture. But then look at our eyes. Here I am looking at the brother, he's crisp and clean, mashallah. If I were to look at the uncle at the back, he's also crisp and clean. It's happening seamlessly. The correct amount of light is going through. I'm focusing. All of that is happening. The creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you see anybody doing any focusing like this? You know, when they want to focus with someone at the back, tapping, touching, and I focus on Masood, yeah? And doing the manual setting, the ISO, the aperture. I mean, I don't know about this stuff, but I'm just saying, yeah? Do you see anybody doing that? The correct amount of light. Oh, it's blinding. I can't see. So I need to drop the ISO perhaps. I need to increase the aperture. Nobody does that. It happens automatically. You go into a dark environment. Your eyes automatically adjust and take the correct amount of light. You go into a well-lit environment. Again, your eyes adjust. You need to contemplate. You need to ponder. And that's when... Because you see, coming back to concentration, we tend to just look over all these things, we just tend to skim over all of these things. If we sit down and contemplate and ponder, that's when we realize, Allahu Akbar, there are so many things around us. We need to savor and relish life, this life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Like say for example, even drinking water, when I say water, I'm feeling thirsty. So when we drink water, what do? We just, you know, pour it. Okay, maybe water is not a good example. Say a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. We tend to read a book or perhaps we're scrolling our newsfeed. We're going through reading the paper and we're just sipping our coffee. But you know what? Put the paper aside. Close your laptop. Keep your mobile phone aside. and savor and relish the drink that you're drinking, you'll start to value the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll start to enjoy it. You'll start enjoying life. Relish your relationships. Relish the relationship that you enjoy. Relish the fact that you have a loving family waiting for you back at home. At times we take all these things for granted. We tend to. And we tend to only focus, like the camera, on all the negative things. And we think, oh my God, life is like so difficult. But then if we only were to focus on the good things, we'll realize that, you know, I'm enjoying so many blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll come to that towards the end, because those are the results of contemplation. Right? But moving on, we need concentration. We need concentration. So can someone tell me the three things that we just mentioned? What do we need to master the art of contemplation? Time, space and concentration. And in terms of sources, we said look at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at yourself. And then in terms of the books that we read. And from all the books, as believers, we have the greatest source of inspiration, the greatest source for contemplation, and that is the Quran. The best of speech, the best of speech, revealed unto the best of messengers, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, revealed through the best and the greatest of all angels, Archangel Gabriel, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay? Through the best of languages, the Arabic language, Lughat Ahlil Jannah, the Lughat of the language of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? And it was revealed during when? The best of months, Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. The best of months. During the best of nights, Inna anzalnahu fi laylat al-Qadr, the best of nights. Better than 1,000 months, Allahu Akbar. And it was revealed where? In the best of lands, Makkah and Medina. The best of lands. We have this amazing divine miracle to derive inspiration, to ponder, to reflect. And our Maker, what does He say in the Noble Quran? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not ponder? Do they not contemplate on the Quran? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or have they got locks on their hearts? So if you're finding it difficult to contemplate, if you're finding it difficult to ponder, then master these techniques. And still if you find it difficult, then you really need to work on your hearts. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the ones who cannot ponder, have they got locks on their hearts? Their hearts have been sealed up, hardening. If you cannot ponder on the words of your Maker. So we must strive to ponder on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. And He Azza wa Jal did not say, أَفَلَا يَسْمَعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَفَلَا يَقْرَعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not hear the Qur'an? Do they not read the Qur'an? Nay. Instead, the choice of words, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not contemplate? Do they not ponder? Do they not reflect on the Qur'an? So the Qur'an is just an amazing source for us to derive inspiration, to ponder and to reflect. Moving on, in terms of the what we get out of contemplating, number one, I briefly touched on it anyway a few minutes ago. Number one is gratitude. The result of contemplation. The minute you master the art of contemplation, you apply it, and the result that you get, number one, is gratitude. You start rendering gratitude unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You start realizing the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. The little things in life, as well as the big things, will all start to manifest and matter to you. Say for example, you'll think, Allahu Akbar, I have clean water to drink. How many people don't have this? How many people are suffering? How many people walk miles to get some clean water to drink? You start making shukr, you start rendering gratitude, Alhamdulillah, I have a roof over my head. How many people don't have roofs over their head? They don't have proper shelter. You start thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillah, I've got good clothes to cover myself, to keep myself warm. I have food over my table. You know, personally, at times, as human beings, we all go through moments of sadness, moments of depression. But it's very easy to come out of it by remembering, by, you know, recording the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. myself, you know, I think of myself, look here, I'm here with all of you, alhamdulillah, in Malaysia. It's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's indeed a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has united all of us for His sake. And we ask Him to unite us in the gardens of Jannah as well. Ameen. And then many other things, the fact that we've got good health. You know the old Persian proverb. I was crying because I had no shoes. Until I walked down the street and met a man who had no feet. I was crying because I had no shoes. Until I walked down the street and met a man who had no feet. That's when that individual started to realize the value of one's feet. I mean, who cares about the shoes? At least we've got feet to walk. At least we've got feet to walk. And like I said, the little things will start to matter. And then we'll start to render gratitude unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll become more positive individuals. And that's the second thing. That's the second result. Number one, gratitude. Number two, positivity. I'm not going to go into positivity because inshaAllah ta'ala, I'll be touching a lot on positivity at our conference, the Daily Reminder Conference, where I'm looking forward to seeing you all there. It'll be on the 29th and 30th, the coming weekend inshaAllah ta'ala. So one of the topics that I'll be dealing with is the diary of an optimist. The diary of an optimist. Talking about the diary, or rather diaries and journals, it's important that we all maintain diaries and journals. You know, this habit is now gone completely because of the tech era that we live in. So it really doesn't matter even if you can maintain a digital one, just to record all the things that happen in your life. And then when you go through it, you will realize, because sometimes we tend to forget. We tend to forget the good things that happen in our life. We tend to forget all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we write it down, we tend to remember it. Okay, look, I was in Malaysia perhaps. I met all these beautiful people, alhamdulillah. I had a really good time there. When we think about all of these things, we realize, Allahu Akbar, I have so much to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. I just don't have time to complain. I don't have time to grumble. I have so much to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. In reality, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, if we were to even spend our whole lives in sajda, this has not been prescribed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not something that has been prescribed. But even if we were to spend our whole lives in sajda, it would not suffice as gratitude rendered unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and favors that He has conferred upon us. And even if you were to try and enumerate and list down in that diary or journal of ours all these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would fail miserably. As He rightfully states in the Noble Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to try and enumerate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you were to try and count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la tuhsuha. You will not be able to encompass all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because His blessings are so numerous in number. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the favors of your Lord can you deny? We can't deny any of the favors, any of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they're so numerous in number. So numerous in number. So let's not waste time grumbling, complaining. You see, some people, when you sit with them, at times, you know, you're all positive and your life is so bright, but the minute you hear about all other individuals whining and complaining, you feel like, oh my God, even my life sucks. But some people, you sit with them, perhaps it's a bad hair day for the sisters, perhaps, or it's just a bad day, and you sit with someone who is so positive, who's got that aura of positivity around them. The minute you sit with them, even you feel uplifted and you feel happy. You feel like, you know what? My problem wasn't such a big problem after all. It's just, you know, something that I need to deal with. And as human beings, we need positivity as well as negativity. You know, sometimes people tend to only focus on positivity, but negativity also plays, in the sense when I say negativity, I'm talking about the negative moments in our lives. They also play a big role. We need negative moments to mold us. We need trials, we need challenges to make us better people. But the way we perceive and the way we look at those challenges, that's the problem. Once a Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked, Ya Rasulullah, of all the individuals, who are the ones tested the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? who are the individuals tested the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can, other than the ones who know the hadith, can anybody take a wild guess? The ones tested the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ones who know the hadith cannot answer. What do you think? I mean, like, what comes to your mind? Criminals, the sinners, the transgressors, the ones tested the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps the serial killers, the rapists, yeah? The ones who have transgressed the limits of Allah, yeah? The one who has the most amount of money. All of these things can come to our minds. But you know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Al-Anbiya. The Prophets. They are the ones tested the most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he went on to say, ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. And then the very next best, after which the very next best. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept off the narration by saying, along the lines of these words, أَوْكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سُلَاتُ وَسَّلَامُ, that an individual is tested according to his levels of iman, according to his levels of righteousness, according to his levels of wara, according to an individual's levels of piety, that individual is tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, so tests, challenges, trials, they polish us to the better. They either forgive, in the sense they are a means for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving us of our sins, or else they polish us to the better. They prepare us for something bigger, you know. Because we as human beings, as the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we fail to perceive the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sadly, that's one of the reasons why we question the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We tend to say, oh, why is life so unfair only to me? Why does life suck? Why do I have to go through all these problems? Why am I the only one going through marital issues? You know, all of us. I'm sure if I were to ask for a show of hands as to, can someone raise their hand? The individual who is not facing any problems in their life, I'm sure none of us can raise our hand. Because we're all fighting our own battles. We're all going through problems. It's just how we deal with these problems. It's just how we deal with these issues, with these problems. This is what counts at the end of the day. So they polish us to the better, they mold us. We're not supposed to question the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not supposed to question the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we don't have access to the bigger picture. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has access to the complete picture. All we have with us are a couple of pixels. We just have a couple of pixels from the complete picture. Allah azza wa jal, He has the complete picture with Him. So sadly, having these couple of pixels with us, we tend to question the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We tend to question Allah. We tend to question the mercy of Allah. We tend to question everything around us. We tend to complain, whine and grumble. Whereas in reality, that's not the qualities, the traits of a believer. No. If you look at the stories of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is where again contemplation comes about. You're not supposed to just skim over the story. Sometimes you might think, oh my God, he's going to start the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. How many times have I heard the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? How many times have I heard the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? Yes, yes, I know Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown into a fire. So sometimes, you know, we tend to think like that. But you know, each time, you know the scholars of tafsir, what they mention, that each time they go into the Quran, you know, just like a diver diving in to bring up pearls, each time we go into the Quran, we come up with something. We come up with something. There's something there. There's a lesson to be derived. There are gems and jewels inside there. Allahu Akbar. Look at the stories of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and just try to relate it to what I just said. Or the hadith that I just mentioned. What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam say? The ones who are tested the most by Allah, Al-Anbiya. Look at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He was chased out of Egypt, comes back. I'm just giving you the gist of the story. Yeah, he accidentally kills an individual and he runs out of Egypt, comes back again, and he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to invite this super evil guy, the dictator of that time, tyrant Fir'aun. Okay, and then what does Fir'aun do? He does not accept the message. He chases Banu Israel basically. He torments them. He does all of that. So don't you think those are all trials? And then the difficulty, the trials that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went through dealing with Banu Israel. We all know that Banu Israel was not an easy nation. They were a very difficult, stubborn nation. The Quran is filled with their mentioned and their stories. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam dealt with that kind of a nation. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was thrown into a blazing fire. A trial, a challenge, a difficulty. Allahu Akbar. It just doesn't end there. He was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do what? Slaughter your son. Just imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not transformed or changed the ruling, you know, that he had to slaughter a ram. All of us, we would have to slaughter our firstborn, our sons. Just imagine what a big trial that would have been. Just put yourself into the shoes of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and think how he must have felt as a father who was blessed with a child after a long period of time. After a long period of time. He's been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to slaughter his beloved son. But he complied. He obeyed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just before that, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Okay. And he was also commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do what just before that? Go and drop your wife, Hajar, and your son in just an unknown place. A barren place. He obeys the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the story of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahu Akbar. When you say, you know, Ayyub is like a synonym for patience. When you say Ayyub, you remember patience. And when you talk about patience, you can't help but remember the story of Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. He was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. He lost his wealth. He loses his children. He loses his health. Everybody moves away from him because of that skin condition of his. So many challenges, so many tests, but he never questioned the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never ever questioned the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His wife goes to him and tells him, Ya Ayyub, you are a prophet of Allah. Why don't you pray to Allah and ask Allah to cure you? And you know what he says? Should I not be a grateful slave unto him? I've been enjoying his bounties and favors for so long. So what if I have to go through a little bit of a challenge, a little bit of trial and difficulty for his sake? Allahu Akbar. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, his story is full of challenges and difficulties. From the very beginning, where he's thrown into an abandoned well, a dark abandoned well, alright? And then what? The caravan that came, Yabushra Hada Ghulam, that was not a rescue team. They didn't come and rescue Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and return him back to Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. No, they take him and go and sell him in the marketplace as a slave. Just imagine a free man one day and the next day a slave. And then this minister purchases him. And the wife of the minister, later on, I'm just fast forwarding the story, tries to seduce him. Allahu Akbar. And then what? He's thrown into prison unjustly. He was innocent. فَلَّبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ He remains in prison for a couple of years, unjustly. And only after that, what happens? He was appointed. The king releases him, proclaims his innocence, and he was appointed as the minister of finances, if you will. So what do we understand? That to reach the peak, to reach that top level that you are aspiring for, you have to go through challenges. You must go through difficulties. We need the negatives in life as well to mold us and to make us such individuals. We need them. Every problem, every challenge, every difficulty that we go through, at the end of the day, if we navigate through it, as believers, trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not giving up hope, not losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we navigate ourselves through those problems, through those difficulties, placing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt at the end of the day we are going to cross all those problems, we're going to cross all those hurdles, those obstacles, and reach what has been promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. And this is why we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we pray? رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ An amazing dua, concise dua, a dua that Prophet ﷺ used to read often. Anas radiallahu anhu, he states that Rasulullah ﷺ used to read this dua often. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَنَا Oh Allah, give me the best in this world, give me the best in the hereafter, and save me from the fire of Jahannam. A beautifully balanced dua. Give me a good life in this world, give me a good life in the hereafter, and save me from the fire of Jahannam. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, by mastering the art of contemplation, we start to ponder, reflect on the things around us, on the words of our Maker, on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We start to realize the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We start to derive lessons. You see, for some people, because we've been talking about the art of contemplation, the minute we master it, that's when we'll start, even when you read the Quran, you'll appreciate the words of your Maker. Because some people, they just open up the Quran and they read, and they don't derive any inspiration. I mean, they just, it's so monotonous and they find it so boring at times. But for some, for others, it's interesting. Each time they open up the Quran, they, you know, they are inspired in a different way. Why? Because they have mastered the art of contemplation. Or their levels of contemplation are stronger because they have, you know, gone through that rigorous practice. We need to bring in, we need to spend time. You shouldn't just take the Quran, open up the Quran and read the Quran for the sake of reading it. Some of us, for example, when Friday comes about, we do read Surah Al-Kahf. But we read it, turning the page. Okay, is the surah going to end now? Is the surah going to end now? Where is the surah going to end? When is the surah going to end? On the app, you look like how many more pages to finish the surah. That's why we read. We read to try and finish it as soon as possible. And khalas, I've done my responsibility. So, you know, mashallah, I can update my status. I read Surah Al-Kahf from Friday today. And I'm good to go, yeah? That's not the purpose. We're supposed to read it, introspecting ourselves, reflecting on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that, we need time, we need space. You can apply this even there. You need space and you need concentration. You need time, you need to spend time with the words of your maker. You need space. You can't go in there. Today, people think that multitasking is very, you know, proficient and good. I don't believe in it. And I think a lot of people don't believe in it as well. Because most of us, say for example, we're working on our laptops, we're doing something important, we've got our, in so many senses, say we've got our mobile phones, and we tend to keep checking our Facebook newsfeed. Oh, so-and-so has friend requested me, wow, let me go accept that, let me, you know, do something over there, chat, chit-chat, and then come back to my work. Or let me check my Twitter feed, or let me do this on Instagram, let me do this, let me do that. Say for example, we are on our you know, Internet Explorer. Who uses Internet Explorer these days, yeah? Say you're on Chrome or whatever it is, yeah? Say you're on Chrome, you've got this multiple amount of tabs. How many tabs? 30 tabs. And now you're wondering now, where was the last thing that I saw? Because you know, we're so used to opening up. There's this one link from one website, we go to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other, and then we're lost. Okay, where did this all start? You've even got extensions on Chrome to limit the amount of tabs to increase productivity. Can you believe it? Only 5 tabs. And the punishment is, if you increase a tab, you lose the first tab. So you're like, you know what, I'm not going to go to more tabs. I'm just going to stick to 5 tabs. That increases productivity. Single tasking is actually good. So wherever you can stick to single tasking, like say for example, you've got a very important email to fire out. Just keep your mobile phone aside and then work on that. Don't tend to switch from this to that, that to this. That's when you know that your levels of productivity are going to drop drastically. Because you're not going to be in focus. You're not going to focus on the task that is at hand and that needs your immediate attention. To some extent, I would say the sisters are better at multitasking. And we better stick to single tasking. The sisters, they tend to do a lot of things at the same time, right? They can cook, they can look after the children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them in such a way. We men, we are more into single tasking. Like say for example, you know, you can't work on Excel whilst typing an email. And then maybe, you know, you can't work on a spreadsheet on Excel whilst typing out an email and then typing a document out as well. Can you do that? You can't. You've got to either, okay, work on the email, or work on the spreadsheet, or work on the presentation or whatever it is you want to submit, right? So single tasking is a lot better. Why? Because it improves our levels of concentration. This is of utmost importance. Like even when reading the Quran, we need concentration. You can't, you see, the thing with reading the Quran on the mobile phone, switch off your notifications, put your mobile phone into airplane mode, please. You read in the Quran, bleep bleep, so and so has requested, friend requested you, or WhatsApp message, Instagram, everything's popping up from there. So how on earth can you concentrate on the words of your maker? You're going to be, okay, you're reading Surah Al-Kahf, mashallah, and then suddenly this important Facebook notification. And you're obviously going to click that. So in a way, it's a sense of disrespect. You're switching from the Quran to Facebook. So put it to airplane mode, put it to silent, and then start reading the Quran. And likewise, say if you're not using the app, just keep your mobile phone on silent, put it aside, and then read the Quran. If you have the book phone, read it, concentrate. And then you might ask me, okay, but I don't understand Arabic, so you know it's obviously going to be monotonous. Well, you have to seek knowledge in that regard. And we live in such a modern era. You know, we have no excuses whatsoever. We're going to be definitely be held questionable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we don't use all the tools that we have at our disposal to seek knowledge. We use those same tools to seek worldly knowledge. We, you know, follow online courses. We do all kinds of things to secure worldly knowledge. At times we want this degree, finding it difficult to perhaps fly over to a different country. We are ready to sit at virtual classrooms and follow the courses online. And say, for example, okay, if it's not a fully fledged course, you just want to know something about Photoshop or something about web designing and you want to learn it by yourself, there are enough and more YouTube videos. Yes or no? Now what do? You go sit on that and you follow the instructions, gradually becoming a master in that particular element. So why can't you do the same thing in the Quran, in regard to the Quran? Say, for example, if you search Tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, you're going to get ample, a plethora of videos discussing the Tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. I'm not endorsing every single video that's on YouTube. It's upon you to choose the scholar that you trust and listen to the content at the end of the day. But there is enough and more content. And there are scholars who stick to the Quran and the Sunnah who are contributing to the Islamic video library on a daily basis. It is upon us to derive benefit from that content. You know, we are going to be held accountable. On the day of Qiyamah, you had that smartphone with you. You had that iPad. You had that laptop. You had access to all these platforms, but you did not use it for good purposes. Instead, you used it for evil purposes or purposes that do not benefit you in this world or the hereafter. We're going to be held accountable. And we're going to be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us work towards mastering this art of contemplation. Let us spend time. Let us free our minds. Let us concentrate. You understand? Let's work on all of these factors. Let's concentrate on the things that are around us. Let us value the blessings that we enjoy on a daily basis. Let's all come to a conclusion that all of our lives are permeated in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not complain, let us not grumble, let us not whine. Let's be thankful, let us render gratitude on a daily basis to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's spend more time with the words of our Maker in ibadah, when we're in salah. Let's concentrate. These three factors, time, space, and concentration even helps us with our khushu and salah. Some of us, we don't take time off. We just, you know, want to finish the salah in 2 minutes and then, yalla, move. We don't free our minds when we come for salah. Can you repeat after me again? Time, space, concentration. Even for salah, it's applicable. You need time, you need space. You need to free your mind and then enter salah. That's when you start, you know, properly focusing on salah. If not, you know, there's this joke people generally say, there was once, I'll mention it. There was, what was the joke anyway? There was once an imam, jama'ah, taking place, right? And what happened was, there was this one ma'moom, one follower. After the salah, he goes to the imam and says, "Ya imam," because there was the imam, you know, forgot one rak'ah, and he only prayed 3 rak'ah for that salah. Say, for example, salah al-dhuha, he prayed only 3 rak'ah. So he missed out 1 rak'ah, and the whole congregation kind of, you know, ignored it because they were all in a different world. And there was this one follower who goes to the imam and says, "Yeah, imam, what did you do? You prayed only 3 rak'ah. You prayed maghrib or what? You prayed only 3 rak'ah salat al-dhuha." The imam said, "No, I prayed 4 rak'ah." The ma'moom says, "No, you prayed 3. I'm 100% sure of it." The imam says, "Well, the whole congregation did not say anything. How on earth are you so sure that I only prayed 3 rak'ah? The man said, "I'm 100% sure. You know why? Because I have 4 shops. And every day when I come for Salatul Dhuha, for every rak'ah I do the accounts of each of my shops. But this Salatul Dhuha I only did 3 shops. My other shop is still pending. So you've only prayed 3 rak'ah. He's you know, 100% sure about something, but in a completely different sense. I mean, not even in salah. He's doing the accounts of his shop. You understand? So this is not how we're supposed to be in salah. You know, we're not supposed to be thinking of what's cooking on the stove. We're not supposed to be thinking about our children. We're not supposed to be thinking. We should think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that we are in front of Allah azza wa jal. We're praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to free our minds, declutter our minds when we're in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, concentration. We need concentration in salah. We need concentration in terms of reading the Qur'an. So these three factors, we need to work on these three factors and master the art of contemplation in all these aspects. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. It was indeed a pleasure to be with you all. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of our sins, to accept our good deeds. And just as how He united us here, mashallah, at Al-Khadim, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhir da'wa yan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakum Allah khair.